It's being recorded now.
The shira is dedicated for Shlema, for Shira, or for Shlema, for Shira, Baz Devor Aleha. I feel that this year has given us some rather unique opportunities that it's very, very conducive for a shiur like this. We try to almost like intersperse our shiurim on Wednesday nights between sometimes a shaila that came up during the course of the week, sometimes just interesting dvar halacha, and very often we try to mix in inyana diyoma. So this year has been very good to us in presenting many, many different opportunities of what we call the strange year. It's the year where Esther B'Tavis fell out on a Friday, and it's the year when Purim fell out on a Friday, it's the year when Erev Pesach falls out on a Shabbos, and anything and everything that could have, I don't want to say went wrong, but in terms of all the unique quirks of the calendar, in case anyone was noticing that all of a sudden Parshas Truma was Parshas Zohar for some strange reason, something that very, very rarely occurs. So a lot of bizarre things happened in the setup of this year of the calendar, and of course probably the most challenging of all is Erev Pesach Shacharis B'Shabbos. So let's see over the next several shiurim. I'm going to use the word several in a little bit of a non-committal way. One thing I can pretty much guarantee you is that we will not continue the sugya after Pesach. That's pretty much guaranteed. But I can't tell you for certain how many weeks until Pesach it will take us to finish it. Although my wife has informed me that Pesach is sooner than I thought it was. So I better finish the shiur quickly so we can back upstairs and start doing some real Pesach preparation. But before that, let's see if we can begin to get started on the sugya that is clearly going to be on everybody's mind in a few short weeks from now. And that is, how in the world do we almost accomplish this halachic juggling act of fulfilling the mitzvahs of Suda Shabbos, and yet in the process not violate the Yisur of Chometz and not violate the Yisur of eating matzah or Pesach? So a whole array of halakhic challenges have to be sorted out. So what I thought we would try to do is almost break the sugya down, really, in a sense, into two parts. We're going to call this week the challenge. I originally thought I would call it the problem, but problem is a very negative kind of thing. We call it the challenge of Suda Shabbos on Erev Pesach, and ultimately next week we'll call the solutions. So in case you only make it to this week, you're going to be scratching your head what in the world to do, because I don't think we're going to come with any answers today. We're going to at least try to present what all the potential issues are, why it is, in a sense, so challenging to fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos properly. So in order to understand why this challenge exists in the first place, we have to familiarize ourselves with two halachas that govern eating on Erev Pesach. There are actually more than two, but two that we're going to focus on primarily tonight. So one is the prohibition of eating chametz on Erev Pesach, and number two, the prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. And it is actually the combination of these two that creates such a challenge for us, because if you can't eat chametz and you can't eat matzah, then that's going to pose a very, very serious obstacle to fulfilling the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos properly. So let's just take each one on its own merits right now, discuss a little bit about the parameters of chametz on Erev Pesach and a little bit about the parameters of matzah on Erev Pesach, and try to almost connect the dots together. So the sugya begins on the first of the Ma'amar Kamos, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, Daf Kaf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, where the Braisa basically divides up three different time zones relating to the prohibition of chametz. There's what we call chametz lifnei zmano, chametz before Pesach. Before Pesach refers to after chatzos on Erev Pesach. So we're talking about it when after they change the clocks. We're talking about probably a couple of minutes before 1 o'clock and onwards. That's what's called chametz lifnei zmano. Then there's chametz bisoch zmano, which is chametz on Pesach proper. And then there's chametz le'achas zmano, which refers to chametz that existed in the world on Pesach, what we colloquially call chametz avol of Pesach. The Gemara quotes the following brayse of the sign in the first of the Ma'amar Kamos: chametz bein lifnei zmano bein le'achas zmano avol abalav. If a person eats chametz either on Erev Pesach in the afternoon or chametz avol of Pesach, one is in violation of a lav in the Torah. What is the lav in the Torah? So this is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who quotes three different psukim a little bit further on the sugya. But the Torah actually says in three different places not to eat chametz. One of them, Rabbi Yehuda argues, refers to Pesach proper. One of them refers to Erev Pesach after Chatzos. And one of them refers to chametz of the Pesach, chametz that was in existence during the week of Pesach. However, although Rabbi Yehuda holds that all three of these are Isurim Gemura min HaTorah, they're not identical in the following way. Tosman over lo belav vikores de Rabbi Yehuda. The only time that one is chayef kores, the ultimate punishment for eating chametz, is only chametz on Pesach itself. So there are really three different parts of this timeline. The first, third, in the Torah without kares, the middle Pesach proper is with kares, and Chamash Omer Pesach is once again a lav in the Torah, albeit without kares. Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Gemara continues in the second line. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chametz lefnei zman oliyach zman einu over alav beloy klum. If a person eats chametz either on Erev Pesach in the afternoon or chametz she'avlo for Pesach, he is not in violation of anything, zero, nothing. And all of those psukim that Rabbi Yehuda quoted to the effect that there are those Yisurim in HaTorah, Rabbi Shimon denies them. He doesn't deny the Pesukim, he just reinterprets the Pesukim. One Pesuk is referring to something else, and another Pesuk teaches us something different. Bottom line is, there is no prohibition, neither of Chametz Lifnei Zmano, nor of Chametz Li'acher Zmano. However, Toch Zmano, on Pesach proper, over Allah Bekaris of Allah. One is for sure not permitted to eat Chametz bin HaTorah on Pesach itself, and if one does so, one is going to be chayev kares. So two very, very important disagreements between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. One about the status of chametz on Erev Pesach after chatzos, and one the status of chametz over Pesach. The issue of chametz over Pesach we're going to put on hold for now. We may come to revisit this after. It'll be a good time to talk about that after Pesach. So, but for right now, we're going to focus on the first machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What is the status of eating chametz in the afternoon of Erev Pesach? According to Rabbi Shehuda, it's a law in the Torah. According to Rabbi Shimon, Eina over lo below klum. However, the question becomes, what did Rabbi Shimon mean when he made that cryptic statement, Eina over lo below klum? He's not over anything. So if we take a look at the second of the sources, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon Oyem in the Tosfos, Tosfos and Psachim Kav Chesem Beis tells us, Rabbi Shimon Oyem, Chametz lefnei zman ol yachas zman Eina over lo below klum, nireh, Rabbi Shimon, Nihide in overall a belav, even though it's not technically allowed, means it's not an outright Torah prohibition. The Chabbis of the Ismano, Modu the Osbechil Meshesh Oslamala. Don't get us wrong, sisters. Don't think that according to Rabbi Shimon, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on Erev Pesach, you could still be eating a slice of pizza. That's out of the question. That is an Isser Gomer Min HaTorah, even according to the view of Rabbi Shimon. Based on what? Based on what source? If Rabbi Shimon says that there is no pasuk, so how could Tosfos make up an issur yesh mehayim just out of nothing? What is the source of this issur? So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a law in the Torah, lo seichel alav chametz as a pasuk in Parshas Re'e, that is the source for the issur de'araisa, the Torah prohibition of eating chametz in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. According to Rabbi Shimon, there is no such drasha. So what would be the possible source of the issur? And how would Rabbi Shimon differ from Rabbi Yehuda? So Tosfos continues, "B'nirah the nafka lemi tashbisu v'achilek, u'mash v'tashbisu shlo k'derech hanah adayin v'achila." Some of you are in the Kolaboka Shurim. We've been spending a lot of time over this over the last several months. We're learning the first back of Pesachim. Basically, what Tosfos tells us is that there is a positive mitzvah in the Torah to destroy chametz. Ach be'amarishon tashbisu s'obim v'techem. And the Torah Shabbat explains us, we have a tradition going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the phrase Yom HaRishon does not refer to the first day of Yom, the first day of Pesach, but rather refers to Erev Pesach. And therefore, we are commanded, we are required to destroy our chametz on Erev Pesach. When on Erev Pesach? Ach is a Lashon Chilek, Ach splits the day into half. And the Torah Shabbat explains to us that halfway through the day of Erev Pesach, you have to be destroying your chametz. Argues Tosfos, eating is not called destroying. Eating is actually the antithesis of destroying. Tashbisu has the connotation to destroy the chametz. Tosfos understood tashbisu to mean physical destruction of the chametz in a non-eating manner. And therefore, if you went ahead and you ate your chametz, you were mevatel the mitzvah of tashbisu. So it comes out according to Tosfos, bein the Rabbi Yehuda, bein the Rabbi Shimon, one cannot eat chametz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Min HaTorah, chametz is off limits. The only difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is the degree of prohibition. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we're dealing with a lav, an actual negative commandment, a prohibition. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Shimon, we're dealing with what we call an iser asay. I'm not allowed to do it, but not because the Torah says not to do it. Because the Torah explicitly says to do something else. So if I do X, I'm being mevatel wine. If I eat my chametz, I'm being mevatel the opportunity to destroy the chametz. And therefore, tachlis, bottom line, it is prohibited, according to the Torah, to eat chametz in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. So when all the dust settles, according to Tosfos' understanding, nobody would ever sanction eating chametz after chatzos on a level of D'oraisa. According to Yehuda, it's a law. According to Shimon, it's an iser asay. But the common denominator is that it's awesome in HaTorah, according to all opinions. So just for the sake of intellectual honesty, we will make reference to a dissenting view, and that is the view of the Baal HaMa'or. The Baal HaMa'or, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, Rachi HaLevi, had the exact opposite conclusion of Tosfos. The Baal HaMa'or suggests that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in fact, you cannot eat chametz on Erev Pesach, the Pasuk in Chumash. But according to Rabbi Shimon, not only in theory may you eat chametz on Erev Pesach, but believe it or not, it may actually be a good thing to do. Because, says the Baal HaMa'or, when you eat chametz, you really destroy that chametz. When you try to make that kind of like, you know, half-made, you know, we all know those Yeshivish Boy Scout kinds of fires in Erev Pesach, then nothing really happens. You know, a guy's trying to make a little bit of a fire, so one fellow comes with six lulavim and throws them to the fire. Another guy comes with some outlandish shmur matzahs, which he thinks have to be burned. Another guy comes with a bagel wrapped in aluminum foil. Nobody taught him in first grade, aluminum foil doesn't burn. And lemaisa, nothing ends up getting burned. So says the Baal HaMa'or, but if you eat the chametz, you know it's gone. That's for sure. Ein lecha hashpasa gedol mezu, argues the Baal HaMa'or. So the view of the Baal HaMa'or has not at all been accepted lahalacha. And we're going to work with the assumption of Tosfos right now that there is a very serious Torah prohibition, bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, bein l'Rabbi Shimon, eating chametz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. It is for this reason that our normal kind of standard Shabbos meals that we would expect involving challah is not really much of an option on Erev Pesach, because once chatzos rolls around, once 1 o'clock in the afternoon rolls around, so whereas on a regular Shabbos, not on Erev Pesach, we would first be sitting down perhaps to be washing and having a chulin with our barley, I didn't say a kosher Pesach chulin, a chametz tikka chulin. So of course that is out of the question according to all the opinions that we mentioned. According to Rabbi Yehuda, one would be Chayav Malkus for that. And even according to Rabbi Shimon, that would be an outright Issa D'oraisa. So to think that you're going to be Yaitse, your mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, but eating challah in the afternoon, and if you think you're coming back for Shalosh Shugos a few hours later, so that's not even a beginning of an option. The way Tosfos presents the sugya, Bein L'Rabbi Yehuda, Bein L'Rabbi Shimon. There are other reasons why partaking of chametz at that point in the day would be extremely problematic. Besides the prohibition of eating chametz, there is a prohibition of owning chametz. And the prohibition of owning chametz, according to many opinions, has already kicked in. The mitzvah of tashbisu has for sure kicked in. And according to many opinions, even the Torah prohibitions of Bal Yerav Ayimotzeh of owning chametz may have already kicked in at chatzos. So pretty much at chatzos, the game is over in terms of any quote-unquote normal kind of eating of a chametz tikka shaloshes. However, chatzos is fairly late in the day. They're going to change the clock next week. You're talking about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Can't we kind of knock off our Suda Shabbos a little bit earlier? Well, it depends how much early you want to get. Because although min haTorah, the cutoff point is chatzos hayom, nevertheless, mid the Rabbanon, the cutoff point is significantly earlier. And that's the third of the Mamakamos, where there was actually a machlokes atanoim. What is that cutoff point, halach lamais, in terms of the Rabbanon? So the Mishnah tells us in the third of the Mamakamos, in Pesach Nafid Aleph and Beis, Rabbi Meir Omer, Oichlim kochomesh v'sarfim mitchila sheish. Rabbi Meir says that you could eat chametz practically, halach lamaisa, for 5 hours into the day. Now, whenever we speak about hours in the day, an hour does not mean 60 minutes on the clock. An hour means a 12th of the portion of daylight of that particular day. That's what's called in Alcha Shol Zmanias. Now, it happens to be that around Pesach time, the days are almost, not perfectly exactly, but almost, even between daylight and nighttime. But again, Shosmanis obviously change radically. In the wintertime, a Shosmanis can be as low as 50 minutes, and the summertime could be as high as 70 minutes. But at this time of year, we're getting closer to the springtime, so the numbers are going to come a little bit almost towards the middle. So comes Rabbi Meir and says, for the first 5 hours into the day, you can eat chametz, but after 5 hours, you can't. Why? Because b'dirabonan, Chazal were afraid, if we let you eat chametz already past 5 hours, you're getting a little bit too close for comfort. And if you're going to keep on going for another hour, then you're going to bump into a potential Torah prohibition. So therefore, midrabanan, Chazal made a takona that midrabanan is not allowed to eat chametz ready an hour before chatzos. Rabbi Yehuda agrees fundamentally to Rabbi Meir's understanding that we have to make a gezeir, we have to make a siyam, we have to make a safeguard midrabanan. But Rabbi Yehuda made a even greater safeguard than Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eichlin kol arba, v'tolin kol chamesh, v'sarf v'mitchil shesh. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can eat chametz only for 4 hours into the day. Then that fifth hour, where Rabbi Meir is still, he's still eating his challah, still eating his bagel in the fifth hour, Rabbi Yehuda says you have to stop. You don't have to go run to burn the chametz yet, but you can't eat the chametz anymore. Besarf v'mitchil shesh. Whereas once the beginning of the sixth hour rolls around, that's now before chatzos, then you better get that fire going. For complex technical halachic reasons, our customers, we actually do our sreifa a little bit earlier, a combination of different minhagim, why we do what we do. But again, this year, it's a totally different picture because it's obviously on Shabbos, no one's burning the chametz on Shabbos. But in a regular year, so our sreifa's chametz actually precedes a little bit what it actually appears in the Mishnah as the latest possible time. So practically speaking, we have a cutoff point in the Torah, and that's chatzos, either Rabbi Yehuda's version of what the Yisr is, or Rabbi Shimon's version of what the Yisr is. And now midrabanan, we have a cutoff point a little bit earlier, and Mechlekes HaTanaim, at what point do we draw that line? The halacha, we follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, practically speaking, Shulchan Aruch, and that's what's going to say in all the calendars, that the Soms Banachilos Chametz, they're going to give you a time in around 10 something or other, that is the halachic 2 hours, and even that's complicated, how you calculate exactly hours. But whatever number that we're going to be choosing to describe the view of Rabbi Yehuda, the accepted view of the halacha, that 2 hours before chatzos, already midirabanan, one has to refrain from eating chametz. You can already begin to see that the option of eating challah for our Shabbos meals is starting to dwindle. Now, I'm not even talking about all the logistical issues involved in terms of having a kitchen that's kosher Pesach, having obviously the food that's being eaten, the rest of the meal is clearly going to be kosher Pesach food. It would be pretty difficult to pull off a chametz meal unless you are really convinced you're going to finish every last drop, because you have very, very little ways of removing significant amounts of chametz once it's already Shabbos. So even putting aside all the technical logistical challenges, from the pure halachic point of view, there are real problems, real halachic yisurim, both potential deraisas and derabanans, in terms of eating chametz. Now, the Friday night meal really doesn't pose any problem at all. I mean, again, it may pose a logistical nightmare, but it doesn't pose a halachic challenge. You can eat chametz Friday night, that's perfectly okay. And technically speaking, you could really eat chametz fairly early on Shabbos morning also. If you would finish your chametz, your challah part of the meal before the cutoff point, the 4 hours, wherever exactly that is, so you could really do it. However, as we're going to see as the sugya develops, that may be maybe a logistical nightmare, but it may be halachically feasible. But that's not going to solve the third of the meal. It's not going to solve shol shudus, because shol shudus and the shlishis is usually associated with being in the afternoon, which is going to be a very, very big challenge. It'd be an impossible challenge to overcome. If you're planning on eating challah for your shalashunas meal, so then if you're eating it after chatzos, according to Rabbi Chaim Malkus, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're only over an essay deraisa. If you're eating it within 2 hours before chatzos, you're in violation of a din derabanan. So you're probably going to have a little bit, a little maneuvering to do in order to get shalashunas in. So challah is probably not going to be the way to go. So in theory, Friday night, in theory, you can do it. Shabbos morning, if you get up the hashkam early enough to do it, you could probably pull that off also. Shalosh Shus is going to become a very, very difficult challenge. So we're probably wondering, wait a second, why are we turning the world upside down on eating chametz? Why are we running to eat challah rolls? Why don't we just simply eat matzah? If they're all, on Yom Tov, we're going to eat our meals out of matzah. So why don't we just make life easy for everybody and just simply eat matzah and fulfill some of the Shabbos with matzah? So the answer to that question is, believe it or not, not found in the Talmud Bavli. It's found in a comment of the Rishalmi that Tosas quotes. The Tosas quotes it in explaining a mission that's going to become critical for us as the sermon continues to develop both this week and next week. If we take a look at the fourth of the Mamre Kamos, very, very famous mission, those who were in Daf Yomi just did this a couple of days ago. Even the first word is controversial. There are two gears. Some say it's Erev Pesachim, some say Arve Pesachim. So whatever the gears is, pretty much saying the same thing. Arve Pesachim, Sabach Lemincha, L'yachol Adam Ad Shetechshach. So late in the afternoon, and we're going to have to fine tune, hopefully a little bit later on, the sugya, when that is, but close to mincha. Now, even the term mincha is a tricky term, because we know there are halachically, this would be called mincha gedola, mincha ketana, which we'll try to kind of flesh out a little bit later on. So close to a time of mincha, a person should not be sitting down on an Erev Pesach and having a meal. The reason for this is that this has nothing to do with chametz and with matzah. A person shouldn't be sitting down having a lot of food at an hour before the Seder starts, because then they won't be able to eat the matzah, the teyavim. There's a mitzvah deraisa be'erev tochel matzahs, and the halacha wants us to be able to eat that matzah with a gishmak, with an excitement, with a real good bread, with a good taste. And if you just finished eating a six-course meal an hour before, it's going to be very, very hard to do that. So that's the sugya, the opening sugya in Arve Pesachim. Arve Pesachim, Samachim, Minchel, Yochel, Amana, Shetechshach. We had a little bit of a spin-off of that this past Friday afternoon, because the Gemara has a similar discussion about any other Friday night. Is there a prohibition, or maybe a real prohibition, or maybe it's Chassidus, also Arv Shabbos, L'yochel Ad Shetechshach, which of course created the whole challenge as to what to do with that Purim Suda, something that we spoke about already a week or two before. So it's also, again, related to this sugya. But in Erev Pesach, it's a significantly more serious problem, and you pretty much can't eat because we don't want to interfere with the fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah. So Tosfos on the fifth of the Maamar Kamos raises a big, big challenge to this Mishnah. Tosfos, what exactly is on the menu that the Mishnah says you can't do? The Mishnah says, lo yoichel, don't eat anything. Don't eat anything. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, stay away, stay out of the kitchen. So Tosfos says, what would I possibly think that I'm eating at that point? It sounds from the Mishnah that, you know, when it's 1 o'clock, you're okay, and 2 o'clock, you're okay, and 3 o'clock, it's okay, and 4 o'clock, and you reach the point, the clock strikes, then you got to stop eating. So it says to us, what exactly were you eating in the first place? Eat matzah. If you were eating matzah, you can't be eating matzah. Forget about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You can't be eating matzah 8 o'clock in the morning. Afilu kodem nami yasser. You're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Why not? Yerushalmi is a startling example, a comparison. Yerushalmi says that, you know, in the olden days, when the people would get married, so the marriage ceremony was really two parts. We also have two parts of a marriage ceremony, except whereas in the olden days, it would sometimes be divided by a year in between. By us, it's divided by about a minute and a half. So in the olden days, there was the Kedusha or the Erusin. And at that point, the woman was an Ashes Ish, but she didn't move into her husband's house yet. She still went back to her father's house. And then there was a break. And the break could be a few months, could be up to a year, maybe more. Yeah, but telling the bidding of mother, the different customs, it wasn't an absolute halacha, but it would be customary to wait approximately a year, and the girl would get her things ready, and they would start making plans for the chassid, and the husband would start working on the apartment, all the things that we do in a couple of weeks. It would take them a year. They would get ready for the actual nisuin itself. And then the couple would get back together again. A year later, they would have nisuin. They would have whatever nisuin was, whether it's chuppah, whether it's yichidrum, whatever, different opinions exactly what they would do. And at that point, the husband and wife would then go home together. They would become fully, fully, completely married. During that interim period, even though they are technically married in the sense of that if that marriage breaks up, it would require a get. So she's considered to be an Ashes Ish. Nevertheless, the couple are not permitted to be together. There's still a prohibition, what's called Bo Arusasa. We actually make reference to that in the bracha under the chuppah. We praise the Kaddish Baruch Hashem, Kaddishanu Mitzvayisa B'Torah, right? V'Asa Lodas Arusas. That we thank Hashem for giving us that Issa Arusa, Bo Arusasa. Arusa Bo Arusasa is an Issa. It's not 100% clear whether that's an Issa Deraisa or an Issa Derabanan, but it's definitely prohibited. No question about it. That until the couple undergoes yichur and sheva brachas with the whole ceremony of nisuin, so then and only then do the couple become permitted to one another. That practice of having kedushin and then nisuin and breaking it up in between is not halachically required. You have to have both steps, but there is no halacha that requires of having a break between the two. It was just customary to do so. If and when a need arises and you have to cut the break down to 30 seconds, so you're technically halachically permitted to do so. So actually the need arose in the Middle Ages. In the time of the Crusades, so the great Rishonim Rashi and his Talmidim realized that if we're going to continue this practice of having this break of 6 months, a year, where the couple are technically married, but not really married, not really living together, so we're going to have a very, very serious problem on our hands. You know, when you have crusades and people are running for their lives, so communities tend to disperse and somebody could run away. We don't know, and obviously there was, the communication those days was significantly lacking. And you can have a scenario where you have this married woman and she has no idea where her husband is. He ran one place, he's from the other town, she's from the other town, and they have no idea where they are. And that's, of course, terrible, potentially tragic issues of Aguna and other things could terribly could result from that. But therefore, the Rishayim instituted that it's just not a good idea to have these breaks anymore. Let them have Kedushin and then have the Suin 5 minutes later. So that's what we do, Bizman Hazeh, even though, Baruch Hashem, we don't have that challenge of the Crusades anymore. But that became the Minhag Yisrael. And again, there was never a halacha to have a break anyway. It was customary. So that custom has pretty much changed for us. So we have the Kedushin and Suin rolled into one. We actually have a Zecher to that, to the old practice, that the Rishonim point out that in the olden days, when you had Kedushin, so you would recite a Baruch Priyad Gofer at the time of the Kedushin, and then you would recite a Baruch Priyad Gofer at the time of the Nisuin. There was a year break between, is a pretty good enough hefsek. It's a pretty enough break to necessitate a second Baruch Priyad Gofer. Today, we're back in the 1100s when we changed the practice and we're having Kedushin and Nisuin, you know, within a few minutes of each other. So that throws into question, how can we make the second Baruch Priyad Gofer? We just made a Baruch Priyad Gofer a minute ago. Isn't that a bracha of atol? It's an unnecessary bracha. So the Rishonim instituted the following practice. Let's make a hefsek. We'll make a little bit of a break. And if we create a little bit of a interruption between the two brachas, that could justify the recitation of the second bracha. So now we're looking with utmost seriousness to stall. We have to waste some time. That's the goal right now, to waste a little bit of time in order to allow us to recite the second Baruch Priyad Gofer. So someone's got to come up with a great idea. What should we do? Someone's get up and sing a song. Some rabbanim like to give long, long drushes. So they want to give a very, very long drusha to make sure it's a hefsek l'chol hadeis. But I guess Rishon didn't come up with such long drushes. So Rishon came with a great idea. Let's think of a stall. We'll read the ksuba. We have to read the ksuba. You have to write the ksuba. You have to sign the ksuba. But there's no mitzvah to read the ksuba. There's no, never was an obligation. There's no chiyuv to read the ksuba. The reading of the ksuba under the chuppah was instituted in the days of Rishon as a custom in order to stall, in order to enable you to make a second Baruch Priyad Gofer. A lot of people think that they're insulted. Ah, the chassidim did it. They didn't ask me to read the ksuba. Oh, yeah, they gave it to the other rabbi. You know, don't feel so bad. That's what you're becoming anyway. That's important. There are a lot of things that are under the chuppah that are much, much more important than the reading of the ksuba itself. In today's world, we view it, it's viewed as like second, after the start of Kedusha, that's like the top of the line. That's the keeper number two on the list. But in terms of pure halacha, so it's really very, very much towards the bottom of the list. I don't want to take away the comfort from anyone who wants to read the ksuba and feel good about themselves, but in terms of pure halacha, it's not so significant. But back to our sugya, there is a prohibition of being bala resasai, and the Rishami has this very, very strange comparison. The Rishami says, what's the nature of bala resasai? What's so bad about bala resasai? What's bad about it is that here the halacha says, just wait a little bit. Be patient. She's already a wife. You're going to be fully married in a short time. You're going to have a chuppah with the yichud, with the shemir brachas, and then it's going to be hit the gomel. There'll be a mitzvah. So what are you running to do it now? Wait until it's a mitzvah. Wait until it's the proper time. Don't run and do something now. Wait until it becomes a shas mitzvah. The Rishami says that it's fell on Erev Pesach. If you please wait till it's night, after dark, after the matzah, she'll have a wonderful opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah deraisa of matzah. Why jump the gun now? You can't control yourself. You can't hold off by eating matzah, wait a few more hours. A person who can't control himself, bala resasa beveischam. So Chazal say that you shouldn't be eating matzah on Erev Pesach. What's the rationale? What does Chazal really want? What is the halacha not wanting to eat the matzah? So the pashas is that we want to create that freshness, that excitement, that this is matzah shel mitzvah. If a guy's going to be munching a matzah the entire day of Erev Pesach, no pun intended, manishtana lies on the kolayas, how is the seder going to be different? How is the achilas matzah going to be different? So the halacha dafka wants you not to eat the matzah until the last minute, until the right time comes, just like don't eat together with the erev resasa until the right time comes. There is somewhat of a question whether this prohibition is a prohibition in a Torah midrabanan. As we said before, the comparison to Bola Rasasa is also not 100% clear whether Bola Rasasa is deraisa derabanan. But again, Usr it is. The degree of Usr is unclear, but also the Matir or Pesach clearly exists in explicit Mishalmi, Tosus, Shulchan Aruch, no questions about it. So it's this Isser of Eichel Matzah or Pesach that adds, that compounds the problem, because we just basically knocked out Chometz out of the box, at least for one of the meals for sure, and Matzah, which would have been so much easier. I have my Pesach dishes out, I got my Pesach of food out. So why one extra box to Shmuel Matzah? What's the big deal? Another $75 added to the tab. So you have another couple of matzahs you're going to use for the shalosh, for the three meals. So Zalzan, for Sunday Shabbos, you're supposed to invest another box of matzahs. So says the Rishon, you can't do that because eating matzah on Erev Pesach is out of the question. We are familiar, many of us are familiar with the custom of refraining away from eating matzah way before. Many have the custom starting from Rosh Chodesh Nisa, not the matzah. Some even have the custom from Purim, some already. I've already almost a week into this minig of not eating matzah b'ani from the time of Purim, but those are minhagim. Those are extensions. That's not the real issa. The real issa gomor of eating matzah is only on Erev Pesach proper. So we basically just almost knocked out of the box chametz and matzah. For all practical purposes, halachically, we can't really have at least three of them else for sure. We can't make out of chametz because the issa v'chil is chametz deraisa is staring us in the face. To make our meals just simply out of matzah is also doesn't get off the ground because we have an Isser of Achilas Matzah. Now, there is a technical machlekes of Rishonim where the Isser of Achilas Matzah or Pesach begins the night before also, or where it only begins in the morning. But again, even according to those who say it only begins in the morning, now eating matzah would only solve, you know, Mikra Din, the first of the Friday night meal. It's not going to solve Shabbos morning. And again, for most of us, we wouldn't even want to go down that route because probably most of us have stopped our matzah either from Purim or from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So going down the route of matzah is fraught with issues and problems, both maybe deraisas, probably derabanans, many minhagim. So matzah is not the way to go. So challah rolls out of the question pretty much, and matzah is out of the question pretty much. But we have to ask ourselves, wait a second, why are we pushing this all together? Who said we have to wash for anything? It may sound like a startling statement. Who says you have to wash for a Shabbos Suda? So it's not clear that you have to wash for Shabbos Suda. Where does that come from? Let's take a look at the sixth of the Mamun Kamas. Tanur Rabban. Kamas Suda's Chayv Adam Lecha B'Shabbos. How many meals do you have to eat on Shabbos? Shalosh, three meals. Rabbi Chitka Omer Arba. The one Tanur Rabbi Chitka says you have to eat four meals on Shabbos. The Gemara goes on to explain because the Torah describes eating the man three times or possibly four times. So depending on how you size up the Pesuk with Bashar B'Shalach, you will conclude exactly how many meals you have to eat. We, of course, paskin aloch against Rabbi Chitka. We paskin three meals. I think the only place Rabbi Chitka sheet has still survived, I don't know if it's still till this day, but I remember back in my days in learning Kerem Yavne in the summertime, so we used to get up, daven was fairly early, davening in the summer and Shabbos morning used to be 7:30. We'd be done. It was a fairly quick moving yeshivish, davening, no drushes, no mishaberachs, it's almost like the daven that most of us are used to these days during COVID days. So davening is fairly short. By 9 o'clock, we were already eating Suda Shniyah, by Mincha by 1, by 1:30, we're having Suda Shlishas, and the game was pretty much over. So in the winter months, so then you take your Shabbos nap, you woke up, it's time for Ma'ariv. But in the summer months, you get up, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, whatever it was, and you get to learn another 2 hours. I'm hungry. If you finished your suddas already, back by 1 o'clock, by 7 o'clock, people are getting pretty hungry. So they used to actually put out food. I remember outside the Chadar Ochel, they would put out food late in the afternoon on Shabbos. And they would even put out some challah for anyone who wanted to wash as well. And it was officially in yeshiva known as Suddas Rabbi Chitka. It was the fourth Suddha of Shabbos. Now, you're not mechuyav to eat it, you're not mechuyav to wash it, you don't want to, but we used to coin it, the Shiva Bracham called it Suddas Rabbi Chitka. Again, I haven't been in Kerem Yavne for Shabbos in quite some time. I don't know whether that minhag still exists in the summertime, but that was back in my days, that was Suddas Rabbi Chitka. So the bottom line is we possibly, of course, you have to eat three meals on Shabbos. But it's not 100% clear from the Gemara what the menu of that meal is. Namely, do you really have to have, you really have to wash, really have to have hamotzi? So in the seventh of the Mamre Kamos, Tosus opens up the possibility that maybe you can eat what's called mine tagima. Mine tagima are other kinds of foods And we're going to hopefully talk a little bit more about this next week, where we focus a little bit more on Shalashudas, challenges on Erev Pesach. According to some Rishonim, Minya Tagima is like a piece of chicken, a piece of fish, a piece of meat, something that usually is a mainstay of a meal, accompanies the meal. According to other Rishonim, maybe something slightly different, but it's not bread. It's not hamotzi. So Tosfos has a whole discussion in Masechet Sukkah. Can you actually fulfill Suda Shabbos with Minya Tagima? Vishtet, you have to wash. When does it say you have to wash? So Tosfos quotes, don't say that Mina Tagima is good. Don't go down that route. The reason why Tosfos is saying don't go down the route is because Rabbeinu Tam did go down the route. Rabbeinu Tam suggested that maybe Mina Tagima at least is good for Shalashudas. We'll have to see, hopefully, mention next week, why the distinction between the third meal and the first two meals. But Tosfos opens up such a door that maybe non-washing would be a good. And then Tosfos shuts the door right away. Tosfos says, no. Tosfos says, if you take a look at the end of the first line, the afidah midasif klos hayom gabe mon shirumokom pas. So Tosfos says that in order to fulfill Suda Shabbos, the goal of Suda Shabbos is a zeich lemon, to remember the dates of the mon. The mon was lechem. Now again, the mon wasn't literally lechem. It wasn't wheat growing in the ground. It was lechem in a shemayim. But it was called halachli lechem, and therefore it had to meet the criteria of what's called an halacha lechem, which for us translates to mean hamotzi. So says Tosfos, the bottom line is you have to have hamotzi for Suda Shabbos. Now, again, there may be a slight dissenting view, at least for Shalashudas, but for right now, let's work with Tosfos' assumption, which is the way we generally pass in halacha. All meals and Shabbos require hamotzi. So it's a combination of the three things that we spent time on tonight that has created what seems to be almost a checkmate. That on the one hand, you have to eat a motzi. You just said Tosfos, that what he did is you have to have a motzi. And a motzi, according to Tosfos, means all three meals has to be a motzi. What hamotzi are you going to eat? Chametz is fraught with Isurim Deraisa, Isurim Derabanan, a whole array of problems that we discussed in the first part of the shiur. So you're going to go down the route of matzah. Matzah has a huge problem in and of itself. And that's the problem of Eichel Matzah, or Pesach, Boler, Sosfes, Chametz. It's out of the question. Tosfos, you shall me. So we checkmate. We have to have hamotzi, but all the kinds of food that we associate with hamotzi are off limits. The chametz is off limits, and the matzah is off limits. So what in the world are we going to do? So obviously, we're going to have to go down one or possible multiple paths. Either we're going to have to find some kind of a food that's hamotzi, but it's not chametz, that's not matzah. And that's going to be a real, real challenge to find such a food. We may be able to do that. Or we may have to maneuver at timing a little bit in terms of Suda Shabbos, particularly in terms of Suda Shlishis, and maybe bump everything very, very, very early on into the day and somehow pull off the stunt, both halachically and logistically, of eating all our three meals before the Issur Chametz kicks in. It's doable, theoretically, but we have to figure out whether to fine-tune that eitz a little bit. That's one other possibility. Or a third possibility may be to throw our hands up and surrender and say, you know what? We can't do it. It's checkmate in halacha. And therefore, if we can't do it, so we don't have to do it. We're not mechuyev to do it. So we're not mechuyev to turn the world upside down to solve a problem that's not solvable. So that may be, according to some posting, that may be the ultimate solution, that there is no solution. Not every problem has a solution. So we have a couple of different possible directions to go down. And hopefully, Mitzvah, next week, we're going to pick up some of these potential, how some of these potential solutions play out, both in the halach universe and the practical universe. Can we almost play around a little bit with the bracha of hamotzi and find some kind of middle ground? That's nishchametz nishmatzah. Can we play around with the klach a little bit in terms of rescheduling our shalashudas for a very bizarre time? Approximately 8 o'clock in the morning, maybe Shalashudas, following a 7 o'clock Suda Shniyah, following a 6 o'clock Shacharis. So we may have to do a lot of maneuvering. We have yet to figure out the challenge of how to get the 9 different minyanim in that slot, which that's the COVID complication of this particular parasha. So I would say now, if everyone could please begin the davening for a nice, sunny, warm, 75-degree day, so we could have multiple outdoor minyanim on Erev Pesach at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm sure our neighbors will appreciate that, but we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. Or are we going to just take the attitude that it's a problem with no solution, and throw our hands up and say we just can't do it? Hope that Shem next week, so we'll try to get the ball rolling in terms of some of the possible routes of solution that are on the horizon.